Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now. Can you believe it? In 2 days, we're having Christmas. It's hard to believe that 2021 is coming to an end, and in 10 days, including today, is already January 1st, 2022. As a child, I always loved Christmas. We had our traditions, which have changed over the years, and living in another country for me. It's all good. Some things I remember as if they happened just yesterday. We always played music, sang Christmas carols, recited poems, read stories, enjoyed a good meal together as a family, which grew as we got older and each sibling started hosting their own Christmas party once they were married and had children of their own. So, no matter how small or large your family is, I decided to share this story with you as it has touched my heart every time I read or read it. And I'm still reading it. The title of the book is Seven Stories of Christmas Love by Leo Buscaglia. And he is the author, and the illustrator is Tom Newsom. I want to give you a little bit of feedback on Leo Buscaglia in case you don't know him. In his warm, humorous way, Dr. Buscaglia shares seven holiday episodes from his life, including his hilarious adventure in producing a school Christmas pageant with second graders, as well as the poignant insights that came from spending Christmas in a hospital recovering from heart surgery. He tells how each event reinforced his belief in the value of caring and love. Leo also reminds us that Christmas can last more than one day, that the spirit of magic of the season can thrive all the time. Peace, joy, and goodwill are not seasonal. They are life-sustaining, life-enhancing, hopeful words that should be spoken, sung, and practiced all the months of the year. Seven Stories of Christmas Love is Leo's Christmas gift to his friends and admirers. Leo Buscaglia is an internationally loved teacher, writer, and lecturer. His many books and television programs dealing with the dynamics of human love have been read and seen by millions. Dr. Buscaglia believes that happiness and love are just a choice away. His life's work as an educator has been directed toward encouraging us to make that choice. Tom Newsom is an illustrator of numerous books, and his work regularly appears in leading women's magazines. A native of La Grange, Texas, he has participated in the NASA Art Program, and his work is now part of the NASA Art Collection in Washington, D.C. He studied at the Art Center in Los Angeles and now resides in Colorado with his wife, Carol, and two sons, Andy and Philip. So it usually helps me to have a little bit of information on the author and if provided of the illustrator as well, because that kind of gets me closer to this story. For today, I have chosen the last story in the book called The Christmas That Almost Wasn't. And the reason I chose that story instead of any of the others is because of the time we're in. So many people were hoping to still have loved ones around for Christmas, yet have lost them to death, be it due to COVID or anything else. It doesn't really matter. Losing a loved one is always difficult. I know that for a fact because my biological mom died December 16, but a long, long time ago. And my dad, until he passed 10 years ago, he always reminded me that she was gone, though he provided me with an amazing bonus mom who's still alive. She's 91 and a half now, and I'm blessed. So I want to consider the blessings more so than anything else, because I did not really know my mom. I was only 10 months old when she passed. So that's why this story, with all my friends and their loved ones who passed over the last 2 years, and especially closer to Christmas as you get, are still passing away, be it of old age or whatever, as I said, I just thought this was totally appropriate. So let me read it to you. And if you choose, you can play it for somebody during Christmas and have them listen to it, or you can go out and get the book, since I gave you the information about the title, the author, and the illustrator. All right, and the story again is The Christmas That Almost Didn't Happen. We have finally mastered the meaning of Christmas when Christmas becomes a way of life. There is no way I could suspect, as I drove to the hospital on that damp December morning, that it would be a one-way trip, repeating ritualistically what I had done in previous years. I parked in the limited outpatient parking area and proceeded to the admissions office, where I filled out the necessary forms for my annual routine physical exam. It was Christmas time, 1982. In the center of the waiting room was a magnificent Christmas tree. It was a welcome and glowing touch. Carols were being piped in via music, and keep us mindful of this special time of year, and to remind us that 'tis the season to be jolly, that we'd better be good, that we should be decorating the halls with boughs of holly and generally preparing for the holy nights to come. I love the feel of holidays. They have always been eagerly anticipated family events for the Buscaglias. When Papa was dying, he called my elder sister to his bedside and pleaded with her to take on the role of keeping the family together. He was convinced, as was Mama before him, that the best way to do this was with frequent joint celebrations over food. Rituals are good for the mind and the heart, he'd say. They give us something to look forward to count on. There can never be enough time for celebration. My sister took this mandate so to heart that she and her husband built a huge family room, which they were certain would last for generations of family gatherings. Holiday get-togethers for the family would be assured. In a few years, it became apparent that only if we were to hire a grand ballroom of the local hotel could we house the entire family in one place at one time. Families, especially Italian families, have a way of growing and getting out of hand. We were compelled to divide into two groups of revelers in two separate locations. So it was on this Christmas, separate family celebrations, but together in love. The pasta was readied. The antipasto was planned, sliced, and marinated. The fowls were purchased and ready for stuffing. Christmas breads and cookies were baked, and the chestnuts boiled. Days ahead, both my sister's kitchens were feasts for the senses. Foods in tempting arrays of color, shape, texture, and size. The heavenly aromas of fresh rosemary, oregano, sage, onions, basil, and garlic. This was to be a banquet befitting the palates that Mama and Papa had spent years educating. that I was not to partake of these wonders never entered my mind. At the insistence of my doctor, I had saved Christmas break from the university classes to take my annual physical examination. There I had a massive heart attack. Fortunately for me, it happened in the hospital. I fell into the arms of a cardiologist just a few feet away from the cardiac ward. It occurred quickly, without warning, and was totally incapacitating. Within hours, it became apparent that if I were going to live, I would have to submit to emergency surgery, a quintuple bypass. It is often said that Italians are among the most outwardly emotional people in the world. In fact, their longevity is often attributed to this tendency to express what is being felt inwardly, then once expressed, let go. A case in point was my family's response to my illness. When the severity of my condition became known, the entire clan was plunged into hysteria and despair. No way was there to be a Christmas celebration with me in the hospital. Never. Tears, prayers, rosaries, and mourning, yes, but merrymaking under such conditions was not to be even remotely considered. It was generally agreed that all holiday plans would be immediately canceled. There would be no Buscaglia Christmas. It took most of my remaining energy to elicit a meager promise that the holiday would continue as planned without me. After all, I reasoned, everything was ready. The food, and they would have to eat. The meeting place, they would want to be with near families at such a time. The gifts, already purchased and wrapped under the tree. And I would not want to be the cause of the children missing out on what they had been so long anticipating. I could not be certain that the family was entirely convinced, but they tearfully left my hospital room with a promise of sorts. They would get together for my sake, but they would not be happy about it. Finally, alone, in the silence of my room, I became acutely aware of the presence of Christmas. All the nurses were wearing corsages of holly and mistletoe. Decorated trees were given off the scent of fresh pine. Carols blended softly with the routine hospital noises. Silent night, holy night. The monitors above my bed, constantly recording my heart activity, continued to suggest the urgency of my condition and the awesome realization that this might well be my last Christmas. It's a strange and inexplicable characteristic of human beings that we never seem to appreciate things until there is a possibility of having them taken from us. Small things that don't always rate our attention take on renewed meaning. We begin to see more clearly how we sometimes lose ourselves in the mundane and unimportant. We wonder how we've found so many petty things to grumble about, or why we failed to stop long enough to experience the beauty of the season and the wonder of giving and celebrating. I wondered then how we become desensitized to the special crispness in the air, the beauty of the holiday ornaments, the aroma of special foods, the excitement, the hugs, the laughter, and the kisses. It was very sobering to realize that by morning, all these things might be taken from me, lost forever. Thankfully, in spite of some minor complications, the operation was a success. the whole situation took on a sense of miracle. A surgeon whom I had met only briefly had, with a knowing touch, taken my heart into his hand, attached new arteries to it, and placed it carefully back in place, a rebirth of sorts. The wonder of it all, I awoke in intensive care. It was like moving through a deep fog, aware yet lost. I was a maze of tubes, bottles, pumps, and respirators. But even in my dazed state, I was aware that Christmas was everywhere. Of relief. It brought a sense of relief. Wherever I was, it was Christmas there, too. Within days, I was moved into a private room in a cardiac ward. A constant parade of loved ones made their way to my bedside. Each person was bearing gifts, things they were certain I couldn't live without. Baked lasagna, homemade sausage, salami, mortadella, pureed chestnuts, cut flowers, potted plants, and my favorite holiday treat, frittura dusa, breaded cornmeal with lemon peel fried in butter. By week's end, my room looked and smelled like nothing so much as the gala opening of an Italian deli. It wasn't like being at home, of course. I missed the children and the noise, but it was certainly the next best thing. When visitors leave and darkness falls in the hospital, an eerie ambiance comes over the place. It was during one of these periods, while walking silently and cautiously around the ward, that I became aware of my neighbors. Seeing them alone in semi-darkness, I had the sudden inspiration to share my good fortune. To the elderly woman in the room immediately next to mine, I gave my blooming poinsettia and a healthy serving of my sister's best egg custard. With the man down the hall who had, I'd been told, lost the will to live, I shared my largest array of cut flowers. I also delivered a portion of frittura dusa, which I was certain would add a new spark and perhaps eagerness to try some more. The succulent wonder of that ambrosia is of itself enough reason to live. In a few hours, we all became fast friends, bound together by the same mystery of the shared moment. We decided to organize as charter members of the Open Heart Club class of 82. We formed a welcoming committee for the new patients who were steadily joining our ranks. We gave solace, encouragement, and love to them, their families, and their friends. We cried together. We laughed a lot. We had good reason for shared joy. Choice was still ours, and in the hospital or out, Christmas could still be what we wanted to make it. We had all been given the most precious gift of all, time for life. I shall never forget that Christmas, which almost wasn't. Soon after that, I returned home and shared two family Christmases, one in January and one in March. I am more aware now than ever of my mortality, at some time still unknown. I might not be as fortunate as I was in 1982, but it is useless to dwell on that. Rather, I will accept the challenge it suggests to make the rest of my life a Christmas celebration. I still have years ahead of me for giving, sharing, caring, accepting, loving. I want to live this allotted time in a holiday spirit. What better way to live? For I feel instinctively that it is only this which can give life meaning and offers our only touch with immortality. I hope you can see why this story means so much to me. It's just filled with hope and with value, and just to be there for one another, love on one another. You don't even need to know each other. So what did you get out of the story? What did you hear or learn that touched your heart? What was the highlight for you in this story? As I said, for me, it was that he made it. My mom didn't, but he did. Some of my friends just recently have made it through and came out of it and are home with their families. My neighbor, there's three young ladies, they're teachers, they're living together, they're sharing a three-bedroom home, and one of them just got COVID, was just diagnosed, so the other two are staying home too to quarantine to make sure, because they're living in the same household, that everybody is safe and sound. And that is what love and sharing Christmas is all about, to give and share what we can. So I am actually going to write a couple of Christmas cards and put them in neighbors' mailboxes without a signature or anything, so they don't know where it came from, just to let them know I wish them a Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year filled with excellent health, peace, joy, and happiness. And just to make their day, because every time I get to help somebody and make their day, it makes me happy. It's not about money. It's not about presents. For me, it's the more I give, the more I win, the more I learn, the more I appreciate. And so I was wondering if there was anything in there for you that you can do and that you choose to do. I have a gift for you guys also. Since this had to do with health, and I'm a certified transformational health and wellness coach, I would like to offer you a free health goal reset strategy session to make sure you can start 2022 with a great mindset and a journey, a plan, a program, something to your destination where you want to go, so you can live many more years in excellent health. And I also offer a free health newsletter. It's an e-newsletter that I send out via email, and I do that weekly. It's always a healthy recipe, healthy activity, and some other valuable information. It's about a page, but it is loaded with great info. Then I would love to challenge you, because I'm in the spirit of giving, and I would like to hand out some prizes. So my challenge is write your own story or poem or something special you did, and the five best entries win a prize. And that has to be turned in by January 15, 2022. And you can send it to Coach Denise at ctdigest.net. The link is in there, but not hyperlinked. So you just have to copy and paste it into the URL. And in the subject line, please, the first three letters are capital BTR for Blog Talk Radio. And then you can write behind whether you want a free health goal strategy session, or if you want the newsletter, or if you want both, or if you're submitting a poem or a story that you wrote or something fun that you did, maybe even with a picture. And so just anything like that would be awesome. I love to receive mail from my audience and see how I can serve better the next time. I thought this year this was perfect for what we're all going through, reading a story that if you didn't have time to find one, you have one that you can play. It's about 10, 11 minutes long, which is not that bad. Or you can go get the book, because I did put in the name, the title, the name of the author, the name of the illustrator, and it is wonderful. This is about the fifth time I'm going through it, rereading those stories. So, yeah, let me know what you want to do, what's happening, and I do wish everybody a very merry, blessed Christmas. Make the most out of it, because you, it almost didn't happen, maybe for you too, who knows. And I just want everybody to treasure that they're alive and that they can still make some changes in their lives, be it mentally or physically or financially, just to live a healthier life all around. So I wish all of you, as I said, for in 2 days, a wonderful Christmas. If you don't celebrate Christmas, happy Hanukkah or whatever it is, or just simply happy holiday season. I don't want to discriminate against anybody. So anyways, I'm going to say until next week, stay happy, healthy, and empowered. And I'm truly looking forward to getting some emails from you requesting something or sharing something. Take care and have a fabulous rest of the day and a fabulous rest of the year.